Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. You've got James here with you at 8:04 on the clock, joined by Seth Habhacker. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, everyone.
Melissa Kay with us as well.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friends over at the WeatherEye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning to you all over there.
How's it going today?
Oh, pretty well.
Good.
It's like another pretty quiet day for us.
Yeah, it is. So far, so good. So we're just going to keep it right here, Paul, and keep the weather right where it is. Great job today. What is it looking like for today?
That's right. We'll just bottle today up and just continue to drop.
Yes.
But things are still looking to stay with sunshine, kind of hazy sunshine that here for us today, with the highs at about 74. East winds 5 to 10. Partly cloudy, 53 tonight. Still looking at a mix of clouds and hazy sun Thursday, about 80 tomorrow, 62 Thursday night. The warmer temps here for Friday into the weekend. On Friday, partly sunny, 82, and then a chance for a shower storm moves in Friday night, 62. A few more showers or storms possible then. Saturday and Sunday, still more clouds, some partial sun each day with the highs still upper 70s, 80 range through the end of the weekend. Overnight lows in the low to mid-60s Saturday night and Sunday night. And then still warmer next week. Some highs around 82 Monday and Tuesday. Still could see another shower chance by Tuesday. And then cooling temperatures coming back in later half of next week. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Appreciate it, Paul. So basically, drive around with your closet, because you're gonna need a piece of everything. You're gonna need shorts and then pants later and then shorts again. And
layering is great. Yep.
Thank you, Paul. You have a great day.
Hey, you guys too.
Looking at your local temps in your neck of the woods, 57 in Stevens Point, 56 in Marshfield, 58 in Wausau, and as Paul was telling us, 57 here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Good weather. Good to have them back with us. So good to have them with us. Well, a little bit later in this hour, we're going to be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. And a little before that, we will get into our birthday and anniversary club with Misty's Menu. Looking forward to all of that. Right now, let us laugh at science.
Science!
if someone you know just had a baby, be a hero and pass this info along. Science may have finally figured out the exact formula for getting a crying baby back to sleep. Now, when you tell that person this, do it over the phone.
Yes.
don't do it in person.
No.
Don't.
Text them. Text them this information.
I'm joking, and I can't even like wrap my mind around doing that. I can't.
Wow.
A team in Japan tried different methods with more than 20 infants and tracked their heart rates to see how quickly they calmed down. Hmm. They say the method that works best takes about 10 minutes and only has two steps to remember. Walk them around, then sit with them. You're welcome, parents. My God.
Oh, my God. Oh, you mean what we've been doing all along. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds good. That's fine.
Baby started.
Yeah,
these are some incredibly intelligent human beings.
Yeah,
they have done their research. They have treated this like it's a true like coming up with a true scientific formula, and they come up with exactly what Seth said. the same thing we've been doing our whole since cavemen were doing this.
Yes. It's nice to have confirmation though that we're actually doing the right thing. So that's kind of nice. I give them kudos for that.
And that if it's taking 10 minutes, that's not bad.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Both good points.
Yeah.
So step one, they say, carry them around for 5 minutes. It'll start to slow their heart rate within 30 seconds, and it calms them down even better than rocking them does.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
And then step two, sit down and hold them for another 5 to 8 minutes. Be patient or they might wake up. Waiting at least 5 minutes gives you the best chance of them staying asleep when you lay them back down.
Mm. Okay. I like that, though. That's good. And I think that's, in general, would probably be very good advice. Now, the parent that has to drive their kid around in the car may be like, yeah, right, whatever, you know.
Yes, I'm raising my hand to that one. Yep.
Because every baby is different. Yes, exactly.
As much as I feel like we know that, I think that what you guys are saying about the confirmation part is certainly noteworthy, and that's I don't want to take anything from that. That being said, come on, science. come on. Like, you can't come at us with this study and not come at it with something new. Like, I feel like a bunch of people who have never been parents did this study, and like, right. they came across this information and like, oh, we just found the Holy Grail here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to love this. Wait till we tell parents this one. They're going to think we're heroes. They're going to throw a parade for us.
I didn't know what to do with my child. Now I do.
Yeah. I'm waiting for step three here, because step one and two I was pretty familiar with.
Like, yeah, right.
Where's step three, guys?
And then dip them in marmalade. I don't know. Yeah, it's right? Like, yeah.
I know. I'm not let down by that, but I am a little kind of like, what the what? I mean, let's...
So, well, I have questions, though. Did they do this with scientists holding the babies, or was it the parents holding the babies?
See,
because sometimes it's different when a non-parent puts a child to sleep, you know, like not the baby's mom or dad. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
There was a god-awful, horrible study done, I want to say back in the 30s or 20s or something like that. Involving do babies respond better to having human touch or not. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go too in-depth in that and everything.
That's awful.
It's an awful study. It was horrible. It was a different time, and that's not forgiving it or anything, but just, you know, it has to be mentioned.
Yeah.
But we know for a fact that is important, how important that is to babies and the human touch. So, again, a little more confirmation with that, a little more of that. Certainly, the reward is worth this, you know, to have a sleeping baby.
Well, it's interesting that it comes from Japan, because traditionally, now I don't know what it's like now. Traditionally, in Japan, parents do not hold their children as much as we do in Western cultures.
Yeah.
It's just a cultural thing, and that's which I found interesting, which is why there's so few, so many fewer people in Japan that are ticklish.
Right.
Because of that. Mm-hmm. Now, really? I don't know if that has something to do with the study that it was in Japan. They were trying to, you know, make a point or something, which could be, I don't know, what the, you know, the motivation for this study was. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, oh, well, that's really interesting. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's always been funny to me that, you know, Japan, we will see, like, their game shows and, like, be blown away. And, like, it'll laugh at how weird they can seem to us and everything. They do that with us with the whole baby carriage thing.
Yes.
Like, the what I forget what they call those, but you can carry your baby without holding them.
Yeah.
Where it's wrapped around your body.
Yeah.
I forget what those are called, but yes. Yeah, like a strap-on thing.
Another thing that I came across, and I did not know this, but the whole taking your kid to school thing, whether it's their first day of grade school or their first day of college, like getting them moved in and all that, like that is not a thing in other countries. That is not a thing. Like they
no.
I was talking to a student about this, and they were talking to, and then they started talking to fellow students about it, and she's just sitting there like blown away, like never heard of anything like this before.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
I didn't know that. I just kind of thought that was I never really thought much about it, to be honest. But
yeah, it's a cultural thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. This next one is another interesting one here, because I personally don't know. I don't think that much about like Florida and retirement or anything, but I've always wanted to go to Key West, and that's I've got some friends in Florida and some other connections there. But because of that, I came across this story in Business Insider the other day, and I just thought it was really interesting. From beachside condos to seniors-only developments, Florida has been a haven for retirees for decades. But housing prices, combined with the rise of remote work, and are threatening to end the middle class dream of retiring in Florida. One of the other things they talk about in this is also the economy, of course, and the lack of the gap in pay of a CEO and a person working on the factory line, and some of these factors, and how that gap has only gotten to be a Grand Canyon size gap within the last 10 to 20 years. The rising cost of Florida real estate is making things tough for people of all ages. Young people are delaying buying their first homes. Renters are spending a large share of their wages on housing, and some retirees are going back to work to afford their homes. 8 out of 10 of the most overvalued home markets in the country are in Florida.
Mm.
Yep. 8 out of 10. Wow.
Between April of 2020 and April of 2021, more than 300,000 people, not just retirees, moved to Florida. The influx of new residents, driven in part by the rise in remote work, has contributed to a rise in home prices.
Yeah.
Florida's status as a paradise for retirees was established more than 70 years ago and has thrived as a place for America to spend the remaining days ever since. In the 20th century, Florida promoted itself as a poor man's paradise, California on the cheap. So the cheap version of poor man's California.
Mm-hmm.
From 1945 to 2000, one in four senior citizens who left another state in America moved to Florida.
One in four.
No other state comes even close to
Not
that.
Not even close. Wow, that's amazing.
So why in Wisconsin are we talking about Florida? This is why.
Exactly. You got it, man.
I got nothing to like add to this necessarily, or mm-hmm. say, well, this is wrong, or this is mm-hmm. how do we fix it, or what have you. I just can't. It's one of those stories that just is not being talked about, and I yeah. feel like it should be talked about. I feel like it should at least like it should be a little more in the common, you know, spectrum.
Right. You talked about it with JR yesterday, and the guest, her name escapes me, Kim, was it? I think
yeah
Kim Nicholson, whatever.
Yes.
But you talked about especially the homeless issue in right here in Wisconsin Rapids in Wood County. Let's take a look at where elsewhere. Look at how horrible it is in California right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason for that is they can't afford it. No one can afford to live there anymore. And if I've learned anything about living in this country for 40-some-odd years, as goes California for a lot of different things, the rest of the country will be following very shortly.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm seeing. We're seeing this in Florida now, and now we're going to start seeing it creep everywhere. Housing as a I don't know what you call it, as a thing in the United States is a mess.
Yeah.
It is a complete and utter mess. And we are doing very little right now to address it. Very little.
Yeah.
Because how many big corporations own a ton of houses? How many big landlord associations are there where they own just a, you know, people down in Florida own a whole ton of housing developments and mm-hmm. apartment complexes up here in other states, and they're not even present landlords.
Exactly.
Or potentially other countries owning housing developments mm-hmm. in the United States.
Well, and in the big cities, there's a lot of absenteeism in terms of they buy real estate, hold it. No one's living there. There's a ton of open space, like in New York City right now. There's like thousands of apartments that no one is living in because A, they can't afford it, and these people are just waiting for the value to go up and up and up and up. So, yeah, that's one of the problems. We actually have lots of housing in this country, but no one can live there for any number of reasons, mostly because they can't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's it's going to have to fix itself because we can't seem to fix it.
It's
not like we're the first people to be talking about this or the first generation to have to deal with it or anything like that. We are some of the first, are the three of us, the generation that we're a part of mm-hmm. is the first one that really is in the situation where, like, generations before us, parents help their kids get a house, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Ours was the first one that was kind of like, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Yeah. And that created quite the trickle down effect.
It really did.
To where so many people would for me, the idea of retirement or owning a home, I might as well dream about going to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exaggerating.
I
might as well be dreaming about that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the American dream we were raised on. That's not what we were taught. But we're not fixing it. We just keep complaining about it. We just keep throwing our hands up in the air or pointing the finger or kicking the can down the road. I don't let the next generation deal with it, or let the next one. That's how our generation got where we are. And it didn't start with us. It started with our parents' generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then them being put in a tough situation, there's nobody really to blame on this. It's just a situation that has organically created itself. Now, in an individual basis, there are certainly mm-hmm. you know, people we can blame as far as some of the things you both have talked about there,
right.
Businesses and the rise of costs and not the rise of income and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like pointing at one sector of society and saying this is to blame, that ain't going to help us right now. That's not going to fix this.
No.
We just need to be focusing on fixing this.
Right. And I believe that there are a lot of different solutions in a lot of different areas where you can be put to work to help like mitigate the situation, like you were saying. The issue is, do we have the will, the political will to do it? That's where we are right now. That's the question that we're facing, and not just housing and a lot of different things. Are we willing to face it head on? And that's where we are. I guess it's the it's kind of vague. Yeah, it's true, but that's where it's up. It's ambiguous. It's up in the air right now.
And here's another factor that we haven't even brought up yet. You know, that there's the glacier in West Antarctica that is hanging on by its fingernails. It's the size of Florida, roughly. Jeez. And when that thing goes into the ocean, the sea levels are going to rise by feet. How is that going to affect Florida specifically?
That's a great point. Any coastal towns, yeah, yep. Cities, they're going to have to start dealing with this because it's going to start coming a lot quicker. Yeah,
a lot quicker than they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are a couple of things that I definitely want to mention here when you've touched on a couple of things here.
Yeah,
one of them when it comes to who you're voting for, it's not hard to do a little digging and find out who is in their pocket because pretty much. You know, outside of maybe your local representatives and everything on a community level, not even a state level, on a community level, it might be a little different. Mm-hmm. But most every single politician has somebody that has added to their campaign.
Yep,
that has put money into their campaign. They're not going to be honest about it. You got to do your homework on that one.
You do.
Do some digging. Find out where that money is going. Where they are getting. Who are they the puppet of?
Yeah.
Who are they the puppet of? And being smart about who you want to be representing you in your communities, in your states, in your country. Not having people that just want to make their pockets fatter. It's not hard. Get away from this whole party thing and the idea of that and just look at the individual and who is in their pocket. Start there. Unfortunately, I'd like to be able to say start with their issues, start with their cause, start with this.
Yep.
You got to start with what's in their pocket, man.
You got to find out where that money's coming from.
It all comes, whether we like it or not, and I hate money, okay? But whether you like it or not, all your answers come back to money. And finding that out is a part of how you fix these things.
Absolutely.
Whether we're talking about this or half the other issues in the world right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right on that. We'll come back and do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. And it is time to do some celebrating.
Happy birthday to you.
I really don't like that one.
I know you don't.
I really, really. And that one just, I don't know what it is about that one.
There's something weird about it. I agree. I think I'm going to have to take that one out because it's. You're right. I'm not a big fan of it either.
I don't know who that band is or what, but.
And just a reminder, Seth, you have a couple in the wings waiting for you.
Oh, that's right.
That's true. Okay.
It is time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. If you're hungry, treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Before we dive into our list, we want to take a moment and wish our friends at Altman a happy 40 years in business. Altman Construction celebrating 40 years of construction excellence this September. They're proud to be serving the Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. They are posting throwback photos on Facebook for their anniversary. Encourage you to type into your search bar on Facebook, Altman Construction, like their page.
Yep.
Like some of their posts and everything. While you're at it, maybe type into WFHR webpage if you haven't already liked our Facebook page.
Yeah, because you can see the wonderful construction they did on that building.
That's right.
Yes. And they did an amazing job on this building. Mm-hmm. And all around town, you can see some of their work.
Yep.
My dad worked with them a little bit. Just great people. Wonderful people.
I was going to say they did a lot of great work at the Moravian Church as well a couple of years ago when we had an elevator installed. And, they did marvelous work there, too. So, yep.
They're a company that puts back into their community, and we always love backing people that back us, support local, and a happy 40 years to Altman Construction.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
We've got three possible qualifiers here, so I need Seth to give me a 1 through 3.
Let's do 2 today. Oh, this is going to be awesome. All right.
I love it when you make James giggle like that.
That's funny. It's funny the way it works.
All right.
So again, because Seth can't, like Melissa
I can't
or
see
anybody
him.
Else can't see our list here. So first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Deb Hoyer.
Happy birthday, Deb.
Enjoy your day, Deb.
I beat you.
You too.
Shut up right here.
Have a great day, Deb. I hope it's a good birthday for you.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrating their 26th anniversary, Tim and Lisa Anderson.
Ooh, oh, great. Happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed. 26. That's a good one.
That is really cool. I hope you guys have a great 26th. Enjoy your anniversary, you two. You deserve it.
I need to get a list of what each anniversary's, you know, thing is. So there's a lot of lists out there that say, you know, like the standard silver anniversary is 25, golden is 50. We need to get the list out here. So every time we get an anniversary, we can say, look, it's the balsa wood, you know.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
And this one, topaz.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of curious about that, too.
Yeah.
I actually would like to see that. We'll have to do that with some show. And our qualifiers celebrating their 20th anniversary, a very happy anniversary to Randy and Terry Johns.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
That's it.
Congratulations, you two.
Now, Some of the listeners may be like, well, wait a minute. Terry practically works there. And I hear you. I know she practically does. But technically, she doesn't.
She doesn't. Yeah.
And it wouldn't be fair to Randy. You know?
That's true.
Randy and I have this agreement that I take Terry out of the building for a couple of, you know, or out of the house for a couple hours a week. And
oh, you're going to hear about that on Friday.
I'm going to hear about that on Friday.
Remind me what year it is for them.
It is 20. It is their 20th anniversary,
which
is beautifully romantic. That is awesome.
Yes.
I hope you guys have a great day and celebrate all the way right into the weekend and have a great weekend.
Yep.
Randy, great man, who has also given us a lot of service in this community as well.
Yep.
And speaking of service, well, that is what Terry does.
Mm-hmm.
She is the CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties and one of the best in this town.
Yeah.
The impact she has made with that United Way and the things that they have done there, and her in particular. Man, I would miss things if I tried to cover it all, and I wouldn't be able to find enough verbs or you know, words to really put it in. It's noticed and it's appreciated. We'll say that.
I do want to do a quick shout out for yesterday's birthday. We of course celebrated Tim Young's birthday and Linda Garski, which is fun that they have the same birthday. I found out last night that Chris Williams' wife, it was her birthday yesterday as well. Our good friend Chris, who's also on the board of the theater, and he's in the show coming up, The Odd Couple. And he said because he was going to be busy at rehearsal last night, he took her to lunch, and he took her to Misty's Menu for lunch yesterday. And I thought, oh, how perfect is that?
He's good. That's great. That's good to hear.
Awesome.
Happy belated anniversary.
Yes.
And again, diving into our celebrity list here, let's see. Ryan Suter is 48. He is the firefighter who won Trista Ryan's heart on The Bachelorette. Okay.
We'll get past that one really quick.
Just, I got nothing. I got...
Come on, it's your favorite show, Jim.
You're right. Yeah.
He surreptitiously watches it,
I wouldn't know if it was on. I really wouldn't know if it was even on TV.
Sure.
I know this guy. Happy 49th birthday to Andrew Lincoln. He is Rick Grimes on The Walking Dead, maybe what he's most famous for. But certainly before that role, kind of a rom-com guy. Kind of in a lot of the, you know, forget the movie that he was in, Love Actually, I believe. Mm. Yeah, in Love Actually, he's the guy with the cue cards. And everything.
That's right, yeah.
Even if you haven't seen that movie, you might know that scene.
Yeah.
Like, that was what he was really famous for before playing Rick Grimes. And he's continuing to play Rick Grimes on The Walking Dead. He's coming back and doing it again and everything. That show is here or there to each their own kind of thing.
Yeah.
But one thing that I will not take, and I don't think you can talk bad about, is the acting. The acting on that show is unparalleled on some levels.
Yeah.
And it starts with him. Like, Joe Bethrall, incredible actor, and did a great job when he was on that show, too. And they've had a lot of great guest actors throughout the years and everything, of course. There's a lot of good actors on it. Andrew Lincoln is the start of it to me. He's a true thespian. That guy can do it all.
And that's a tough show to be on. It's very physically demanding, and, you know, having to deal with some really, you know, like, emotional things too. So, and anyone who's acted before, James, you can really speak to this, how draining that can be in those kinds of roles where you have to play, you know, like desperate. You're in, like, desperate straits all the time, and you're really emotional, you know, stuff. So
Norman Reedus is an underrated actor, I think, and he does a great job. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan has been really good on it. But it really starts with him.
Yes.
And part of the reason that Jeffrey Dean Morgan did the show, they got a big name like that, was because of Andrew Lincoln.
That's so cool.
You know, just it really, he's one of the better ones out there. Also turning 49, one of the greatest rhymers of all time, Nas is 49. Just a prolific hip-hop artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the early ones that really got the ball rolling with actual rhyming, like true lyricist.
More poetry than just, yeah.
Well, do this, sometime. You take a certain, not every rap song, obviously, but you take certain artists like a Nas, and you just read their lyrics to somebody. And it sounds like it's a haiku or a poem or something. Mm-hmm. It isn't until you throw those beats in there and everything that you start getting people to kind of like, oh, I don't know about this. But I've done that before. I've done that at spoken word events. I've done it at open poetry events. Wow. And every time you'll see some people that just kind of like blown away, like, oh, that was Tupac? Oh, that was Nas?
Yeah.
He's one of the better ones out there. Let us see here. Dan Cortez is 55. Does anybody remember Dan Cortez?
I remember Dan Cortez.
I remember Dan Cortez.
MTV Sports.
Seth remembers everybody.
Yeah. she ain't wrong.
yeah.
I remember her. This next one, I was a big fan of hers. Faith Ford is 58. She was Corky on Murphy Brown.
That's right.
I was a big fan of Murphy Brown. I like that show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
I never got into that one for whatever reason. It had a really great cast, and they had really cool guest stars, but I just, for whatever reason, never got into it.
Candace Bergen.
She was great.
Oh, my gosh. Just so good. So good. Some of my favorite Saturday Night Live bits of all time. She was one of the host of that show and stuff. So I'm a sucker. I will always be a sucker. It would have been always a sucker for her.
She is the master of the deflating comeback.
Yes.
I mean, it's so deadpan and it's so good. She
playing
is
playing it straight.
So good at doing that.
That's a great note, man. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah,
I can't think of many actors that are better than her at that. Yeah.
Another great actor, Melissa Leo, is 62. She is Goldie, the owner of the comedy club on Showtime's Dying Up Here. She won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for playing Mark Wahlberg's mom on The Fighter. Great actor. She was in a Homicide, Life on the Street.
Oh, dude,
back in the day.
Reading my mind, man. Yeah, that's where I first remember her being on that totally awesome and completely underrated show, Homicide. What's such a good show.
Andre Brower, Richard Blazer. There's so many good people.
Yaphet Kotto. Yaphet Kotto was on that show.
Yes. Yaphet Kotto may be the most underrated actor of all time.
Yeah.
I said that, and I will stand by it. But Melissa Leo was one of the sneaky great parts of that show, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. John Barry is 63, country singer with a famous song, Your Love Amazes Me.
I'll take your word for it.
Let's see. John Bowser Bauman is 75 from Sha Na Na.
Yes, John Bowser Bauman, boy. And that, what's that one? He does this weird
He does some
pose.
Weird, yeah,
that's
pose
really strange. Anyway, yeah.
A couple more as we wrap up. Sam Neill is 75. Dr. Alan Grant in the Jurassic Park movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Tudors. Good
he's
actor.
He's had quite a career. I got to say that he's been in all kinds of movies. He's been in it. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I like him too.
Walter Kaying, and I always say his name wrong, is 86 today, Star Trek legend. The Chekhov.
Oh, Walter Koenig, I believe. Koenig, that's how he pronounces it.
And then some people no longer with us, like Clayton, the Lone Ranger Moore, born on this day in 1914, passed away in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Amy Winehouse would have been 39 today. She was born in 1983, passed away way too young in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Deb Hoyer, a happy 26th anniversary to Tim and Lisa Anderson, and a happy 20th anniversary to Randy and Terry Johns, our qualifiers.
Congratulations to all of you. Go get some pie.
Yes, celebrate, enjoy, and stick around because coming up in a little bit, we're going to be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday right here on Mornings on WFHR. Now's Melissa's News. We're back. Some of us in black. Some of us. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you guys are having a great Wednesday out there. And since it is Wednesday, it means it is time for us to be joined by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, Phil Hartley, and our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, James. How's today?
Going good over here. How are you doing over there?
Yeah, sunshining over here. Doing good.
Very cool. Good to hear, Phil. Phil, what word do you have for us today?
So the wicked awesome word is unabashed.
Ooh.
Nice.
Unabashed.
Nice one. Nice.
UNABASHED. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be a very good word to use after both the Badgers and Packers played this last weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably a good call.
It kind of means you're not embarrassed, or ashamed. You're a proud fan or proud of what you're doing, right? You're on a bat.
On a bat.
There you go. Yes.
But it worked for this weekend, anyway.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Phil, I was talking.
So we're unabashed of the morning show and
nice.
Unabashed fans, I guess, right?
Phil, do you have a list of words that you're kind of pulling from, or like do they come to you like sometime in the middle of the week?
So I keep my eyes open all week, and then I did subscribe recently to one of the dictionary has a word of the week or something. They send out an email, and they usually list like 5 or 6 words on it. And so I look at those and see if there's any I can pick off of them and see if we can use them. But then I also just listen for, what people are saying throughout the week, the vernacular, the different terms, and see if I can even catch my ear.
Yeah.
And then I have people bond. We know, James, right? You get feedback. So now that people are hearing this, and they are, I get people volunteering words, too, usually. Not all are always nice, though.
Yeah. It's very noteworthy.
Oh, you can't use on radio.
Got to help us out here a little bit, Got to work with us a little.
So I try to stay with positive words, and words that we could use in our daily life here at the job or out in the community, So kind of fun.
We like that.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure doing it.
Melissa, did you have something?
Nope.
Okay. Phil, how are things going over at the shop?
Yeah, doing really good. We're busy today. We got some big job coming for Assumption's sports books we're printing today that they're going to be handing out to Friday's home football game.
Nice.
So we're working on those today. And Arts Council's new year program book that they hand out at all their events and tremendous events they do at the PAC. So we're printing those, starting to print those today as well. So two big projects that we work on for really almost a month on both of them to get them going, get them designed. That Tracy does all the design work, for them. And so they're finally coming to fruition today, and we're starting to print some of those. So really cool. The Arts Council has a tremendous, another great season coming up with a whole bunch of different artists. I know they have a Linda Ronstadt cover. And I love Linda Ronstadt. John Denver,
good stuff.
Yeah,
got a really neat magician coming up. I'm going to go to that one. I love to see magic shows. You can never figure them out.
And Phil, I know that when we had our tailgate party and everything, Seth kind of asked you a little of this. We always like to remind the audience while you guys do anything traditional that you need in printing, you guys can be. Hey, if you got something that you're thinking of, bring it to them and see if they can do it.
Yeah, no, I have the best designer in the business sitting in here in the office beside me, and Tracy Biolo. She's amazing. Nice. But we can make things happen. I mean, we got some great people in the back room doing the bindery, and if you can give us what you want and kind of the size and dream something up, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. There's a will, there's a way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So,
Thank you, as always, Phil. One more time, our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Unabashed.
Such a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you got a great batting average right now, Phil. You were just killing it. Nice work.
Thanks so much. One last night.
Yes. Thanks so much, Phil. You have a great day, and say hi to everybody over there for us.
Yeah, will do. Take care, you guys. Have a great day.
You too, Phil.
Yeah, you too, Phil.
Visit our friend Phil and all the gang over there at Quality Plus Printing. They're at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. You can give them a call at 423-7440, 423-7440. Encourage you to bookmark their webpage, qpprinting.com. And be sure to go to Facebook, type into your search bar, Quality Plus Printing, like their page. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the things they got going on over there. We'll take a really quick commercial break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about some of the weirdest items ever found in a lost and found. Come back with that on Mornings on WFHR. Looking at the temperatures in your neck of the woods, it is, that can't be right. It is 58 in Stevens Point, 56 in Marshfield, and 57 here in Wausau, and 56 here in Wisconsin Rapids. You have Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Good morning, everybody. 8:48 on the clock. And last time we got together, we kind of loosely talked about, lost and founds and finding items. We had a random fact about it.
Yep.
And so it kind of got me digging into actual lost and founds. What are some of the weirdest items ever found in a lost and found? Many positive things rose from the ashes of the French Revolution. Liberty, Equality, and the Lost and Found Office.
Didn't know that.
French Revolution?
Wow.
Yes, the Lost and Found Office. I bet your history teacher didn't tell you that one.
Yeah.
The Bureau of Found Objects is considered the first modern lost property office. It opened in 1805 when Napoleon ordered the police to set up a centralized place to collect objects found on the streets of Paris.
Well, how about that?
It sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
It kind of does. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing as I was reading it, Mel. Yeah. Now, that's just kind of cool history, I thought.
Yeah,
I thought
it
was just interesting. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about where Lost and Founds came
that's
from.
Neat.
But it's really, I don't know why, but it really seems remarkable to me that it is that old, even though it does seem like losing things is something we've been doing since the caveman days.
And I get the feeling.
Where did I put my spear? Helen, did you see where I put my spear?
Right, we've only got one room, dear.
It's not there. It's not. So what are some of the weirdest items found in a lost and found? We start off with a life-sized stuffed Spider-Man. Found on a London train, this life-sized toy has been given an honored place standing guard over other lost property.
How the mighty have fallen. Poor Spider-Man, he's reduced to that now.
This is definitely one. This may be the one that we should have saved for the end, but because this may be the headline, an engraved headstone.
What?
An engraved headstone was found in an unclaimed baggage in the U.S. after a period of time with no takers. Someone bought it at an auction and turned it into a coffee table. That's an option.
It's a little morbid, but okay. Well, you know, to each their own. Yeah. You know.
Headstones are pretty cool, honestly.
They can be pretty cool. I agree.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some really neat ones.
It is important to mark out your luggage. I mean, somebody got home and they're like, my headstone. Where did I put that? Where did I put that headstone?
We've only got one room, dear. Oh, no, sorry.
A wedding dress with matching shoes.
Oh.
That is a little hard. Ooh. Yeah, that does pull at the heart a little bit. A wedding dress and a pair of matching shoes surfaced in Paris and have lain unclaimed for long enough to be moved to the Bureau of Found Objects Museum of the Strange or Musée de la Seine along with a hoverboard and a saber from the late 1890s.
What? Wow.
Rumor has it that these haunting beauties were left in the back of a taxi by a quarreling couple who never came forward to claim their white goods.
Wow.
So the wedding was called off.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
In other words.
Wow. So, what a story behind that, man. I'd love to hear that story. Mm.
Suggesting that the wedding may have been, as Mel said, gone off. But on the odd chance that this bride-to-be wanted them back, even if just to trash them before throwing them into the river, she could have labeled the shoes with shoe labels.
Yeah, right.
And stuff. So while we're talking about these items, it's not bad to note the things that you could do to avoid these things.
I want to go to Paris just to go to that museum.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm so with you, Seth. Like, weird museums,
weird museums, me too.
Something about them. Space shuttle camera and functional missile guidance system.
What?
This seems dangerous.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The unclaimed baggage center in Alabama has had the distinct honor of temporarily housing a lost space shuttle camera and a misplaced missile guidance system before promptly returning them to NASA and Air Force, respectively.
Oh, my goodness.
Admittedly, it's fairly easy to identify and return items that belong to high-profile government organizations. But suppose that you, an ordinary person, were in possession of, say, your very own private use space camera. How could you ensure that? How would you lose those if you had
them? I was going to say, Sergeant, what'd you do with my missile guidance system?
Got it.
Sir, I seem to have
misplaced. It's a really long story involving.
I don't.
It's Tommy Lee Jones who's doing it, too. What have you doing with my missile?
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. A crossing guard lollipop. Yeah, lots of people like lollipops, but there's a big difference between those and, of course, what the crossing guards use.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, go, that kind of thing.
Well,
yeah, and they call those, I didn't know that they called
them lollipops.
Yeah, they call them
lollipops.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Hmm.
One of these landed up in a London train station. Nobody claimed it, so they decided, just throw it in the lost and found.
What happened to the crossing guard?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
That's a good question. There's a shortage.
Yes, there is. Yes. Yeah. It's between the shortage of that and school bus drivers. There's a real concern there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how about a cat? Yeah.
A cat?
A cat.
Wait, they turned it into Lost and Found?
Meow. Yeah. Dead animals are left on public transportation, including three bats and a taxidermied warthog.
Oh, my.
Oh, goodness.
Thankfully, a live cat has been found and eventually reunited with his or her human.
Oh, good.
But there was, for a good couple of days, there was a cat in a Lost and Found.
Wow.
It's surprising that it would have gone to a Lost and Found and not a Humane Society.
Yeah.
Unless they didn't have that facility there. I mean,
right,
we don't know.
I suppose. That's
but still, it's like, what do I do with this cat?
That's a tough one. How about a 5.8 carat diamond and platinum ring?
Whoa. Oh,
dang. Sitting in a sock within an unclaimed suitcase, a precious ring found its way to Alabama's unclaimed baggage center. Many jewelry makers provide engraving options for rings. However, messages like, I'll love you forever, sweetie poo, don't tend to really help you get reunited with your ring. I'm looking for a sweetie poo that's loved.
Everyone raise their hand.
For 1.5 carats?
Yeah.
Was it?
5.8. That's huge.
Yeah. I'll go by sweetie pie.
What's going on in Alabama? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
There's a couple of these now that we've had from Alabama.
Yeah, what's going on?
So how do you make sure that your lost wedding rings make it their way back to you? Why were you taking them off? The classy solution is obviously to use there's something called flag labels that they suggest,
mm-hmm.
which wrap around rings or things such as pencils, cords, and mm-hmm. Valuable rings.
Yep.
It's a good way.
Good
to
advice.
Do
good advice.
Yeah. And finally on the list, and we got to be mature about this, everybody.
All right.
Oh, man.
Breast implants.
Wait,
what?
Outside of someone's body?
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
Oh dear!
I just want to let this leave this into your imaginations and not even give you details so that you guys can wonder. And
oh
like,
my goodness!
You tend to find lots of wobbly delights traveling on London tube systems.
Oh boy!
These misplaced breast implants are no exception. Now, how to avoid losing them? Well, I mean, don't take them off. Apparently, a doctor was transporting these, left them on a train, and, they got left behind.
Oh, that's such a mundane story, though. I like the other one better.
I do, too.
See, Some woman was just finally sick of them and just cut them.
You know what? I'm done with this.
Yes.
It just whipped them out. I can't think of anything that I have lost necessarily that would even end up on this list, other than my sanity. I can't think of one.
Anyone found James' sanity yet? It's at a lost and found in Alabama. Is where it is.
It's the one place I didn't look.
Yep.
More than likely, having run a lost and found in a school office, you do get a lot of very odd things.
I'm sure you do.
And a lot of lunchboxes, coffee cups full of coffee. You have to attend
still
to it.
Full of coffee?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay.
And they just get set there. And if you don't attend to it daily, you get some nasty surprises.
I can imagine.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Ew. Yeah.
Did you end up having any retainers in the last?
Yeah.
I thought,
I think that a retainer or two have shown up. They're more often they keep them in the lunchroom because that's where they go back to look for them.
Right, exactly. Because they took them off for lunch, right?
Good thinking.
Yep. Or they're digging through trash cans to try to find them.
They put it on the tray and then, yep.
Mm-hmm. We have been spending the last couple of days talking about this fantastic thing that the Cedars Project has been putting on, this Cedar Festival coming up Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th. Seth, tell them about it.
It's a weekend of music, and like James said, it's hosted by the Cedars Project, which is a co-op that focuses on connecting community members with artists and local business owners in order to help one another grow and build sustainable projects. The Cedar Festival will be taking place in Little Chute on the hillside overlooking Doyle Park and the Fox River. For more info and to buy tickets, you can go to thecedarsproject.com. Our friend Isaiah, who we met through Hoosel's Rise to Music, he was one of the performers, is the mastermind behind this. So he reached out to Steph, and that's why we're helping him out with this.
And as a side note, we are able to tell you now that there will be a part two. There will be another Hoozle's Rise to Music.
That's right.
Be listening for that and spread the word about that
next summer.
We can get as many local bands as we can. As far as the Cedar Project goes, they're going to have Fresh on the Fly, a new food truck in town. We'll be making pizzas using ingredients from their garden.
That's so
and
cool.
Dirty Laundry Brewing and Stone Arch are sponsoring a selection of beers. People are also welcome to bring your own beer. They do recommend that you bring a lawn chair or a blanket to sit on. And if it rains, the festival will be moved to the pavilion at Doyle Park. And why don't we give away two tickets right now?
Let's do it.
You want them? Call up 424-2600 and to get them. They're for yours for the taking. Call up 424-2600 and win yourself a pair of tickets to the Cedar Festival coming up September 16th and 17th. And again, you can find out more by going to thecedarsproject.com. We'll come back with a winner and some more fun on mornings on WFHR.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.